Going to setting up the tabernacle.
Sorry.
Great. Thank you. Good morning. It's exciting to be here again and to listen to stories of how God's working as I talk to different ones of you. How he's working in your lives, how he's working here in California. Yesterday we heard that two kids from the Claremont group made professions of faith. So that's really exciting. We're praising God about that today. I was talking to someone who lives along the 99, the freeway that goes through the Central Valley, and they're talking to me about how, like we were talking about Monday, how there are little towns right along 99 where you could do church planting. That's exciting. Someone was telling me last night, the folks in Humboldt, about how Humboldt is receiving a huge industry of wind turbines. They're going to be building wind turbines there. So there's going to be an influx of population, which I'm sure the people of Humboldt County aren't pleased with, but we know that God can use that. So it's exciting. I hope as you hear about these things that you're stimulated to pray for revival. I told you I started praying for revival about 5 years ago when I heard that God was bringing people from Kansas to California to plant churches, and I've been praying for revival. And this past year has been very interesting as we've been praying for revival because the Asbury event happened. Apparently a revival on a campus in the Midwest in Asbury, where revival had happened in the 70s, happened this year, and we were praying for them, and we were praying for that. And as we were praying, we heard that it spread to several different campuses in the Midwest. So I'm excited. I believe that God is doing something and that we're on the brink of something. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime or not, but it's exciting. And the other thing that happened that I wanted to share with you at Yosemite, I've been thinking about this conference for over a year, and I wanted to share about the Jesus movement, the last time I experienced any kind of revival here in California. And as I was getting ready to share that, the movie The Jesus Revolution came out. And I thought that was a really good movie, detailing just part of that revolution, because that revolution was really a countrywide revolution, a movement of the Holy Spirit among young people. And that birthed the Calvary Chapel movement and also the Jews for Jesus movement, which were on both sides, on both coasts, the West Coast and the East Coast. The Calvary Chapel, of course, is on the West Coast. I went to UC Irvine, and I lived about a block away from the original Calvary Chapel, where all the Maranatha music started. But then the guy that started Jews for Jesus was a Jewish believer who came over from the East Coast to the West Coast in that time. So a lot of exciting things happened. Our chapel, really the core of our chapel at Fairhaven, most of them came to Christ through the Friday night thing, which was a Bible study at Gene Gibson's house during that time. So God did a lot, and I actually, it played a large role in my life, because even though I was a kid, and I had made a child's profession of faith, I saw God working in my sister and my mother, who we grew up in a church that really didn't preach the gospel. And they came to Christ outside of that church when my mom threw a Bible study and my sister threw a radio program. And my sister, this was referenced in the movie Jesus Revolution, and if you saw the movie Woodlawn, it was referenced. There was an event in Dallas, Texas called Expo 72. And Expo 72 was a gathering of 50,000 young people to listen to sermons about Jesus from Billy Graham and to listen to music from several of the new bands that were emerging. And my sister went. She like, I don't know how she got permission from my dad to do this. She was like 18 years old. But she went on a bus to Dallas, Texas to go to this happening. And on the way there, a windstorm came and it turned the bus 180 degrees so that the back of the bus was going in the direction that the front of the bus was going. And the windows were knocked out, but no one was hurt. So everyone thought, wow, God is with us, right? And my sister goes to this event. And something happened in my life that had never happened that week. I got a letter in the mail, and it wasn't during Christmas, and it wasn't during my birthday. And I was really kind of blown away, and it was from my sister. She's just it's probably just a postcard saying, hey, praying for you, love you, PTL, Jesus loves you, blah, blah, blah. But I was just touched. I was just, like, to my core, that my sister, with whom I didn't always have the best relationship with, wrote me a letter. And then when she came back from that trip, the other thing that had never happened in my life or that I can't remember is she brought me a present. And I got a present. It wasn't my birthday and it wasn't Christmas. And I got a present. And I was just blown away. And from that point on, I wanted to be just like my sister. Just so, you know, I took on the Jesus, you know, I took on the language. I put PTL in my letters, and it was just great. So don't underestimate the impact you have in a child's life. Don't underestimate the power that you can have in your little brothers and sisters and at kids' clubs and anytime you get to be with kids. Jesus said you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. They have a humility and a faith that we tend to lose as we grow into adulthood. So I think about that time, and I pray for times like that to happen again in California. But revival starts with individuals. And I'm sure this illustration didn't come from Gene Gibson, but I heard it from Gene Gibson. He used to say, when I pray for revival, I get on my knees and I draw a circle with a piece of chalk. And I pray, Lord, revive everything in the circle. Revive everything in the circle. And that's why yesterday and today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Because we need the Holy Spirit to have revival in our own lives, and we need the Holy Spirit to have revival as a movement among many churches and many groups of churches. And yesterday, we learned a couple of lessons from the Samaritan woman, from Jesus' encounter with her. And lesson one, I don't know if anybody remembers, that the Holy Spirit is a what? Okay, no prizes today. The Holy Spirit is a gift to everyone who desires him. The Holy Spirit is a gift to everyone who desires him. Just like salvation is a gift, can't be earned, it can't be deserved. He's freely given to everyone who desires him. Jesus was offering him to the woman, but he also said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. It's a gift for everyone who desires him. And then we learned that the Holy Spirit wants to live in us in an abundant way. And we started looking at Holy Spirit commands in the New Testament. And we looked at Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and we looked at 1 Thessalonians, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Right? And some applications from those two lessons, from those two points, were that confess sin and then obey the Holy Spirit. Practice your gift. All right? So that's where we are. Those are the two lessons. He's a gift. He wants to live abundantly through you. How's that going to happen? As we obey those commands. Don't grieve, don't quench. So now we're going to go to John 7. Just a few chapters later, after the Samaritan woman. And now Jesus is speaking to a group. about the Holy Spirit. And this is at the Feast of Booths. There were three feasts that everyone in Israel, all the men were required to come to each year. And the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, was one of them. And Jesus goes in the middle of the week because he's gotten very popular, or I should say very famous and infamous in some circles, and some people are looking to kill him. So he goes in secret, and he starts teaching in the temple in Jerusalem. And then we're going to the last day of the feast, and let's read verses 37 through 39. So John 7, 37 through 39. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, this is really at the height of Jesus' fame. He has done five of the seven miracles in the book of John. A couple of those were in Jerusalem. He healed the paralytic on the Sabbath, caused a lot of people to be angry. And so people are looking for him. Other people are following him because they know that he heals. Other people are following him because of his powerful teaching. And so there's this big mob at the temple on the great day of the feast. And he shouts out these words about the living water, the words that he had whispered to the woman at the well three chapters earlier in a private conversation. Now it's for everyone. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, and that goes back to our first Holy Spirit lesson, that the Holy Spirit is a gift to all, to everyone, right? If anyone, not just the woman at the well, not just the Samaritans, but if anyone is thirsty, y'all can have this gift. Whoever, whosoever, that means you, if you desire him. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. As the scripture said. That's interesting. You know, I cannot find a verse in the Old Testament that says, from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But these verses, along with the verses to the woman at the well, seem to echo passages from Isaiah, where Isaiah talks about the waters. And I'll just give you a couple of those passages. One is Isaiah 12:3, which says, therefore, you will draw... Sorry, I should read it, because I'm just blanking. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. So again, water bubbling up to eternal life, like Jesus was talking about the woman at the well. And Isaiah 55, verse 1, Jesus says, Isaiah says, ho, like hey, pay attention. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Right? That's what Jesus is saying. Everyone who's thirsty. And you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Lesson one, the Holy Spirit is a... Thank you, somebody. He's a gift without money. No cost. Not something you can earn or deserve. So it's beautiful to me as we think about the Holy Spirit in water, this picture, that it's really from Genesis to Revelation. We see this picture. From the first verses of the Bible to Isaiah, the middle of the Bible, to Jesus, to the last verses of the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right? Right before God created the earth. The Spirit was hovering over the waters. Then we have these verses in Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come, buy and drink. And then we have Jesus saying, everyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then in the last verses of the Bible, we have Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Did you get that the Holy Spirit's a gift? Without cost. And that we should come. Anyone who's thirsty, you should come. It's in Isaiah. It's in Jesus. It's in Revelation. So, here Jesus says, if you believe in Jesus, and of course, believing is the key, one of the key themes of John. It comes up like 98 times. Believe, believe, believe. He who believes in me has eternal life. He who believes in me from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Do you trust that Jesus is who he says he is? That he is the God-man? He is God became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that in him is eternal life. In him is eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you put your trust in that? That's the key to salvation. And so he's saying, if you believe in me, from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, talking about the Holy Spirit. So now we come to lesson number three, Holy Spirit lesson number three. And that is that the Holy Spirit is to live through you. He wants to live through you, not just in you. The Holy Spirit wants to live through you, not just in you. So what's the difference between a well and a river? Yesterday we talked about a well. Jesus met a woman at the well. And we talked about that that's a love story, right? That a Jew reading that knows when a man and a woman at a well, that's a love story. And I forgot to read the end of that love story, which is so beautiful. So I'm going to just go back to John 4 real quick. You don't even have to go there. But you know, Jesus and the woman have this conversation, and he's offering her the water that springs up to eternal life, you know, a well that can be in her, and she wants it, but we have to deal with her sin issue and all the men in her life. And so at the end of a love story, what happens? The guy gets on his knees and says, will you marry me, right? And I believe that this is the woman's yes. And I'm just going to find this verse in John 4. Verse 28. Like I say, John is full of metaphors, right? It says, so the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? You see, that water pot, that represented the water that she had been going to. She had been going to the men, right? She had been going through men to satisfy her thirst. But she left that water pot with Jesus. And in that motion, she said, "Yes, I want you. I want you. I want to be your bride. All these men, they have not fulfilled me. But I want the water that you're offering." So instead of filling up my pot with the water I used to get here every day, I'm leaving that with you, Jesus. And I'm going to tell those men that I was with, I'm going to tell them who I found. I found my real husband. And that's the end of that love story. So I forgot to tell you that yesterday. But I think that's a beautiful ending. So we go back to John 7. And now he's not talking to the woman, but he's talking to the crowds. And we're talking about the difference between a well and a river, right? What's the difference between a well and a river? The water in a well stays there. It's there, and if you're thirsty and it's in you, that's great. You have water all day long. Beautiful. But a river moves. A river flows. It's so cool that I can talk about rivers and look at this river. And we can see how fast it's moving, so fast that we shouldn't even jump in it. We shouldn't even swim in it this year. And that's going to go all the way down to Hetch Hetchy Dam, I think, if my water's correct. And then it's going to go to us in the Bay Area. And we're going to drink it. It goes from a source and it just keeps moving. It just keeps blessing everyone it meets until it gets to the ocean. That's what rivers do. And now, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's going to be a river in you, not just a well, which means he's going to impact other people. He's not just for you to hoard. He's to be shared. He's to flow through you. He's not to get stuck in you. And a missionary I was listening to this year, he put it this way. He said, "Do you want to be a toilet bowl Christian or do you want to be a sprinkler Christian?" You know, the water in the toilet, it just stays there and it just swirls around and goes down, right? But the water in the sprinkler goes out and it waters and it blesses the grass and the vegetation. So do you want to be a toilet bowl Christian? This wasn't me, okay? So, you know, potty talk during messages. Do you want to be a toilet bowl Christian or do you want to be a sprinkler Christian? I want to be a sprinkler Christian, and we have some Holy Spirit commands that go with that today. And the first, and they have to do with others. And the first is Ephesians. Sorry, let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. And I'm just going to read the end of 18 and verse 19. So it says, "But be filled." That's where we're going to start. Ephesians 18b and 19. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." All right. So be filled. That's one way that the Holy Spirit can flow through you. It's because how do we be filled? It says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So the application point, which goes with lesson three, the Holy Spirit wants to live through you, not just in you, is sing a song, make melody in your heart to the Lord, and sing it together with other people. I love that we sing together before we do these services. We had a great sing-along with some Jesus people last night at Gary's camp, and we sang the Jesus songs in from the 70s. Those are songs that, like, I grew up with. My wife grew up with them. We were just kids, but My older sister and my wife's parents, they were full on in this, and they were teaching us these songs. The Christian life was meant to be lived in community, not in isolation. Not in isolation. And we're living in a society, a culture that's becoming more and more isolated. Everyone's going away with their iPhones and just communicating through technology instead of face-to-face. And I think that's sad. I think it's a tragedy. When we went from Nicaragua to Central Asia, we're in Nicaragua. There was just very little in the way of technology. They were just getting cell phones. And we had heard about Facebook, but we weren't on it or anything. And my kids went to this Christian school in Central Asia. And my son comes home from school, and he says, you'll never believe what happened today. I'm in a room full of kids on their computer, and they're Facebooking each other on the computer, and they're in the same room. Like, what is that? What is that about? Well, it's insanity. And we should get together like this, and we should talk to each other. I knew Zoom was great for COVID, but don't let Zoom replace your relationships, your community. Don't live in isolation. Get together with people and sing. Be filled with the Spirit. Somebody asked D.L. Moody, why are you always talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit? D.L. Moody said, because I leak. I leak. I need constant filling. I need constant filling every day with the Holy Spirit. I want Him invading my life and flowing through me and not just staying in me and blessing other people, blessing other believers. So, that's the first Holy Spirit verse that goes with that third lesson. And then the second is Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And of course, this goes with the famous fruits of the Spirit verses in Galatians 5:22 and 23. So if we walk with the Spirit, we'll bear fruit of the Spirit. And this passage for me goes with John 15 that we're not going to look at, don't worry. But John 15 is the vine and the branches, right? And what is the result of the vine and the branches? Fruit. Jesus said he wants that we have much fruit, not just a little bit of fruit, but he wants each one of us to have much fruit. And we see what that fruit is in Galatians. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And that's a great list it's a great list to pray through each day. And usually in my quiet times, I try to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And when I get to the, our Father who art in heaven, give hallowed be thy name. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I say, Lord, let thy will be done in Dave Reeve as it is in heaven today. And I start praying through this list. And it's a wonderful thing to pray through because you have the first fruits are from God to us. Love, joy, peace. Like the love comes from God. It doesn't come from me. And as a result, I have joy and peace because of his love, because my sins are forgiven, because I'm washed. I'm in perfect communion with him today. That gives me joy and peace. And then the next three have to do with my relationship to others. Patience. I need patience with others. Kindness. I need to be kind to others. Goodness. I need to be good to others. And then the last three I think of as long-term fruits. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are things that don't happen in a day, but they happen as I abide, as I live with Christ every day for weeks and months and years. Those fruits come. So I pray through that list every day because I know that that reminds me of what God wants to do in my life as his Spirit and I live together. And that's a beautiful life. I can say that's the most wonderful life I've ever known, the life of abiding. And it produces those fruits. I don't have to try to love. Kind, try to be kind. Hi, how are you? No, I just walk with Jesus and he produces those fruits in me. And that's the picture of the vine who is Jesus and the branches who are us and the fruit that comes as a result of that relationship. If you ever go to a grape plant, just do this. Visit a vineyard sometime. We live in a land of vineyards in California. And you watch the vine, and you watch that branch, and you watch those grapes. And you'll never see this. You'll never see the branches doing this. Fruit! Fruit! No, you don't see the branches working at all. They're just there. They're just there as conduits for the sap to come through and produce the fruit. And that's all God wants us to be. He says, you don't have to do anything. You just have to live with me, abide with me, and I'll make it all happen. But you have to give up those other things that are quenching my spirit and grieving my spirit. And just live with me, and I'll make it happen. So walk through the Spirit, practical application, pray. Pray the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's lesson three. The Holy Spirit wants to live through us and not just in us. Lesson four comes from going back to John 7, verse 39. And this is a fascinating verse because this is where John is giving commentary on Jesus' teaching. And he's kind of, what he explains here helps us connect everything from the woman at the well to these verses about the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And this verse leads us to the last Holy Spirit lesson, and then we'll be done. And that is, you have to believe in Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit. There's a process that John's describing here. He says, first he tells us, Jesus is talking about the Spirit. So now we know, okay, the water thing, that is the Spirit. I get it. That's great. Thank you, John. Big help. Okay. And now he explains how and when that Spirit is going to come. He said, this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. So the first step is believing in Jesus. That's the theme of the book of John. Believe in Jesus. And so John is saying the people who had believed in Jesus, they were about to receive the Spirit. He hadn't come yet, but they were going to receive him. They had to believe, though. So they believed. And then the Spirit was going to come, but one thing had to happen. John says the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, when was Jesus glorified? When he resurrected, after he resurrected from the tomb, he was glorified. He was in his new body, the kinds of bodies that we're going to have after the rapture. Why did Jesus have to be glorified before the Holy Spirit came? So here's the three steps we see in this verse. Believe, Jesus was glorified, and then the Holy Spirit comes. Why did Jesus have to be glorified? Because that was the last step of the gospel, the resurrection, right? Jesus had to die for our sins. He had to go to that cross to make clean vessels for the Holy Spirit. And when he was glorified, that was the last step. He was resurrected. And then in Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And in Ephesians 1:13, Paul says, now the Holy Spirit comes to everyone who listens to that message of the gospel and believes. Listen to the message of the gospel and believe, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll receive that gift. That's how it happens now. So I have to ask, you can't live the first three Holy Spirit lessons until you've taken that lesson, the lesson four. You have to believe in Jesus. And if you haven't done that today, then what I've said the last message and a half isn't going to make any sense. So if you haven't taken that step, I want to encourage you. Believe Jesus. Believe what he did for you. He went on the cross. He took your sins. He was buried. And he rose again through the power of God. And he rose again in that glorified body so that now we can have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now we can live out these living water promises in John. So real quick summary. Holy Spirit lesson one. The Holy Spirit's a gift to everyone who desires him. Holy Spirit lesson number two. He wants to live in an abundant way in you. Holy Spirit lesson number three. He wants to live through you, not just in you. And Holy Spirit lesson number four. You have to believe Jesus to have that gift. And the four practical application points. Confess sin, right? To not grieve the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. Practice your gift. Number three, sing a song. And number four, pray for fruit in your lives. I know there's a lot of activities going on here, and I hope that you get some more time alone with God to walk through these lessons. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of salvation which comes through the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his desire to give us your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you want to live in us in a fruitful and abundant way. We pray that that would begin happening today if it hasn't. In Jesus' name, amen.